It's April 12th, 2020, and this is an exciting day. Today is Sunday, and today is the day we come to feast number three of the Lord, which is the feast of the first fruits. And specifically, it's the first fruits of the barley harvest and of the corn. Because we're going to see feast three and feast four are both first fruit feasts. But Feast 4 is a little different. It's 50 days after this one. And it's known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost, but it's also a first fruits feast. So Feast 3 and 4 are very much tied together, just like Feast 1 and 2 were very much tied together. But this Feast number 3 comes on a perfect day. This is literally, this Sunday is the exact same day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. About 1,990 years ago. It's the exact same day. And I'm not going by our calendar. I'm going by the Jewish calendar. Passover was Thursday, and 3 days later, Sunday, resurrection. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at this feast of the first fruits, which is ultimately a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's read it, Leviticus 23. And then we're going to break it down by the grace of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is verse 9, speak unto the children of Israel, and saying unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savour. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Hallelujah. The Feast of the First Fruits. So let's go over this. Let's break this down. So literally, when Israel got into the land, and when they had the very beginning of harvest, this was the barley harvest, this was the corn harvest, when they had the very beginning, and they were to reap it, God said, I want you to bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Now, a sheaf is like, it's like something you can carry in your hand. It's a very small amount. And in fact, we're going to see in Exodus 23, and I believe it's reiterated in Exodus 34, the Lord's going to call it the first of thy first fruits. So they're reaping the first fruits of the harvest here. And God said, I want you to take a sheaf of the first fruits. Take just something you can hold in your hand. Take literally the first of thy first fruits. It's like a handful. And you bring this to the priest. Okay? God was instituting something in Israel that's very important. And this thing started all the way back with Abel. And he's instituting the concept of the first fruits. What God is saying is that everything belongs to me. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All things are of me. But I give you many blessings and many things to enjoy and many good things for you and for your family. I give these things to you. But I want you to remember that all things are really mine, and I want you to learn to give me the first fruits. And this is a principle all the way back. What was the difference between Cain and Abel? Abel offered the firstlings of his flock and the fat. He gave his first, and he gave that extra little amount. You know why? Because he really loved God and he was really thankful. And also, it was an act of faith because he was trusting that God was going to give him more to provide for his own needs. Cain, it doesn't say he gave the first fruits. It just says he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. So Cain, he had his harvest. He probably took the first fruits for him, his family. They enjoyed it. And then eventually, you know, the leftovers he gave to God. And you know what? God accepted Abel's offering and he accepted Abel's heart. But he did not respect Cain's offering, and he did not respect Cain's heart. And we know the end of Cain. And this is something we have to learn, especially if we want to be faithful Christians. We got to learn, you can't walk in the footsteps of Cain and be a faithful Christian. We can't just throw leftovers to God. Leftovers of income, leftovers of time, leftovers of energy, leftovers of talents. You can't throw leftovers to God and think he's pleased with it. No, God deserves the first fruits, the best. First thing in the morning, that first time it should be spent with the Lord, not with your cell phone. First fruits of your income, man. It should be given to the Lord's work, right? First fruits of your talents and your energy, man. Give it to the Lord. This is the principle. Okay, but that's a different topic. Let's get back to this feast of first fruits that God gave to Israel. So they were to bring the first fruits of their harvest, was to be brought to the Lord, and literally wanted you to take a sheaf, and the very first thing that you reap, you take that, and before you eat on that day, before you do anything on that day, the first thing is you take that sheaf and you bring it to the priest. And so everybody, whenever it was that they finally started reaping their first harvest of barley, corn, whatever it was, ended up being an early spring. This is in the first month. What they were supposed to do was they were supposed to take a sheaf right to the priest. And what was the priest going to do? Then the priest took, and this was from every man in Israel, so this was a big deal. And the priest, what he did was he waved the sheaf before the Lord. So they would bring it to the priest, he would take it, and I don't know exactly, in the other feast, in the next feast, they're going to put these things in a basket and wave it before the Lord. Here it doesn't say necessarily that it's put in a basket. It might be, it might not be. He might have just hand to hand. You take your first fruit, you hand it to the priest takes it, and it says he waves it before the Lord. Why is he waving it before the Lord? Because it says it's to be accepted for you. So this was for God's blessing to come on the people of Israel as they continued in their harvests and as they continued in their labors, that here they have given their first fruits to the Lord. Now, obviously, the Lord Jehovah himself didn't eat their first fruits. Okay, it was given to the priests, and then the priests got to keep it, and it was sustenance for the priests and for their families. Because while everybody else in Israel was working jobs and working businesses and working the land, the priests and the Levites were not allowed to do that stuff. The priests and the Levites, their entire lives had to be dedicated to the work of the Lord. So they were constantly in the work of the Lord, offering up offerings, offering up prayers, teaching people the word, studying the word. That was their job as the priests and the Levites in the things pertaining to the Lord. So this was the way God provided for his men that served him. So they brought the first fruits, the priest waved it so that they'd be accepted. When did this happen? Okay, so now here's the thing. When they reaped the harvest, they had to bring it to the priest. It says on the morrow after the Sabbath. That means the morrow is tomorrow, the day after. The day after the Sabbath, the priest waved it. So we know the Sabbath day is Saturday. So this ceremony happened every year in Israel. Every year in Israel on a Sunday. It was always fixed on a Sunday. It was always the first day of the week. The Sabbath was the last day of the week. It's the first day of the week. So this first fruits of the harvest is representing provision. God's provision for his people. God's going to sustain them. God's going to feed them. God's going to watch over them. But the first goes to the Lord. The first, you bring it to the priest. The priest waves it, and it's on the first day of the week. It's always on Sunday. Every year, this is exactly what happened. And on the same day, they were also to offer a he lamb without blemish for a burnt offering, and they were offered a meat offering and a drink offering. I'm not going to look so much at that, but again, I want to reiterate the point that he says, you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling. Okay. First fruits. Now, again, where does the first fruits come from? It comes out of the ground. Now remember, you originally take a seed that is not from the ground. The seed is not of the soil. Seed is different from the soil. God's the one who created seed. God's the one who created herbs. You get these seeds from whatever grain or herb you're working with. You take that seed, you plant it in the earth, and then it springs out of the ground. And when that fruit comes up, when it's ready to be reaped, you take the first fruits, you take that sheaf, you take the first of the first fruits, it says, and you bring it to the priest. Are you guys seeing this? And it's on the first day of the week. Come on. This was pointing forward to the resurrection of Jesus Christ so clearly. Listen, now it's easier after the fact to see it than before the fact. But Paul, after the fact, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about the resurrection of the dead. And what he's saying is, he says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. He says, man, if the dead don't rise, then Christ isn't raised. If Christ isn't raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. And all those who fell asleep in Christ, talking about all the ones who died who had faith in Christ, they're perished, done, it's finished. You know what? The foundational pillar, or the key cornerstone foundation of our faith, is in the resurrected Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ doesn't offer us a salvation where we'll just go to heaven one day and live happily ever after. That's not the salvation offered by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't just appear in apparitions and visions to his apostles and give them good words of peace and comfort. No. Jesus Christ literally died on the cross. His body was literally buried in a grave inside a tomb. And 3 days later, he literally, physically walked out of that grave. There's no body in that tomb, and there's no body of Jesus Christ physically left on this earth anymore. You can't find his actual body. It's gone. He rose from the dead, and he ascended up before the Father. This is key, foundational. And look what Paul says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first fruits of them that slept. But here's the good news. Watch this. Listen, when you bring the first fruits, the first of the first fruits, we're going to look at that in a second. When you bring the first fruits, those aren't the only fruits. That's just the first fruits. The first fruits are a sign that there's more coming in. There's more coming in. There's a harvest to come, a great harvest. This is just the first fruits. And you know what Paul says? Christ is risen from the dead. He is the first fruits of them that slept, but he's just the first fruits. He's not the only one. Why? Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Because through Adam, sin came in, and through Adam, death came. That's why Christ had to be a man, so that through Christ, sin could be taken away. And through Christ, eternal life could come. And it's not just spiritual eternal life. It's physical eternal life. Adam was supposed to live forever in his body. When he sinned, he lost that eternal life. And now we have something actually even better than Adam, because Adam could lose it. But in Christ, you can't lose it. In Christ, we're born of God. And so here's what he says in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. So Christ is the first fruits, and then afterward, when Christ comes back, that's when the harvest is coming in. We'll look at that later, another time. But right now we're focusing on the first fruits. Christ is the first fruits. But remember, that means there's hope for us. That means we don't have to fear death. That means we don't have to fear suffering. That means we don't have to fear agony. That means we don't have to fear anything, because everything is temporary on this earth. But one day we're going to rise in a literal body, a flesh and bone body, not flesh and blood, because later he'll tell us that there's two different types of bodies. There's the natural body. There's the corruptible body. There's the body that was made of this earth. That's what Adam was given. He was made a living soul. He was of this earth, but he could corrupt and die. He was flesh and blood. But no, Christ was made a spiritual body in the resurrection. It's the spiritual body. It's not just spiritual. It's not just a spirit, but it's a spiritual body, an actual body. But it's actually a heavenly body. It's amazing. I don't know how a heavenly body comes out of the earth. God's got that thing figured out. That's what happened. But remember, when Christ appeared to his disciples, he goes, don't look at me. I'm not a spirit. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. He goes, here, give me something to eat. Grab something to eat. I'll show you. See, he's not a spirit. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a sign. It wasn't an appearance. It was Jesus Christ in his body. He said, look, touch my hands. Thrust your hand into my sides. Be not faithless, but be believing. It's I. He still had the fingerprints in his hands. But again, the reality is it's a transformed body. Actually, I know how God pulled this off. And the concept has to do with the seed. But here's what Paul says in Philippians 3. He says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that's our natural body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. See, our body's going to be changed like his too. We're going to resurrect and physically, but it's a heavenly body, live with Jesus Christ forever. We're not just floating off to heaven. Now, yes, it's true. When we die, our souls go to heaven, but that's not the end of this story. Christ, he resurrected. We're going to resurrect. It's exciting. He's the first fruits. He's the first fruits. Now, how he actually pulls it off is because, remember, he is the seed that's from heaven. So even though he clothed himself in a corruptible body, within him was the seed of eternal life. And that seed was planted in the earth. His soul and his spirit went down into the heart of the earth. And when that thing sprung up, it sprung up a new body. It was a transformed body. Even though it was the physical body that died, but it wasn't the same physical body. It wasn't flesh and blood. The blood's gone. No blood in the new body. But anyways, these are other things. Point is, I want us to see that God gave this feast to Israel. And every single year, they were to celebrate this feast. What's neat is they were supposed to bring a sheaf of the first fruits. The first time the word sheaf is found in your Bible, it's not found a lot, but the first time it's found in your Bible is Genesis 37. And in Genesis 37 is when Joseph had his dream. And Joseph dreamed his dream, and then he tells his brothers, and he says, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Hallelujah. He says, you take the sheaf of the first fruit, you bring it to the priest, the sheaf. The first time the word sheaf is found in your Bible, Joseph's sheaf, he says, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and all your sheaves bowed down to my sheaf. That's a picture of Christ's resurrection. Joseph is the great picture of Jesus Christ, the one who was despised and rejected of his brothers, the one who was cast all the way down into the prison house, but he was raised up out of the prison house and set second in command of Pharaoh, at the right hand of Pharaoh, with all authority and all power given to him in Egypt. And the ones who killed him, or rather the ones who betrayed him and desired to kill him, one day they had to come to him and bow to him to receive food from him. And let me tell you, all Israel's going to turn back and they're going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my sheaf arose. That's the resurrection of Jesus Christ right there. Stood upright. It arose and stood upright. Again, in Exodus 23 and in Exodus 34, he says, the first of thy first fruits. So it's not just the first fruits, but you take the first of thy first fruits and you bring it to the priest. That's Jesus Christ. Because remember, when Christ rose, we looked at it yesterday in Matthew 27, when Christ rose, many of the saints arose. Because remember, when you start to reap your harvest, you don't just take one little thing, man, you get a bunch of them. You're not getting all of them. There's still a lot more to come. But they were starting to reap it, and there were a bunch of first fruits. But God says, you take the first of your first fruits. You take that sheaf of the first fruits, and that represents Christ himself, and you bring it to the priest, and the priest's going to wave it before the Lord. You go, what does that represent? So here's the best I can come to. All right, Psalm 85, right? Psalm 85, he says, in verse 11, he says, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Okay? Jesus Christ, when did he rise from the dead? He rose in springtime. And Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. So Christ rose out of that earth, that sheaf. His body arose, but the sheaf had to be brought into the hand of the priest. Go, what is that? Well, here's the best I can tell. Christ, in the book of Hebrews, it makes it clear that there's a new priesthood that was established in Jesus Christ. There's a new priesthood. He says in chapter 7, and he says in verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Okay, so the priesthood has been changed. Okay, Levi and Aaron and those guys were made priests after the law of a carnal commandment. But he says, but our priest, he's after another order. It's like Melchizedek. This is a priesthood of the whole world. And he says he's made after the power of an endless life. Again, there's something significant about it. You bring this sheaf to the priest, okay? Christ resurrected physically, but you bring the sheaf to the priest so that the priest can wave it before the Lord. See what he's saying? Okay. We'll get there. Let me see if I can find this scripture. It says in chapter 8, again, continuing about the priest. He says, for if he were on earth, he's talking about Christ, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God. Okay? If he were a priest on earth, then there's no need for him to be a priest. Not even a priest, because he's not even in the right tribe to be one of the priests on earth. So Christ's priesthood is not an earthly priesthood. This is a heavenly priesthood. That's why in verse 6 it says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Okay? He's a heavenly high priest that sits in heaven mediating for us. Jesus Christ is the high priest. Remember, you're supposed to bring the sheaf to the priest. What it's representing, as best I can tell, is this is representing when Christ himself bodily went up into heaven. And this didn't happen 40 days later. I'm not talking about his final ascension, but he ascended that the day he rose, on that very day, that was the first fruits. Israel was celebrating the first fruits on that first day of the week when Jesus rose from the dead. So the day that they were set, that people were going and bringing their first fruits to the priest, the first of their first fruits, Jesus Christ rose and Jesus Christ ascended before the Father, and he sprinkled the blood, and he basically revealed himself to the Father before the Father, appeared before the Father in heaven itself. Okay? Here's what it says in Hebrews. In Hebrews, it says, verse 24, he's talking about after he did his sacrifice and after he shed his blood, it says, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Christ ascended to appear in heaven in the presence of God. Okay, so they were to bring the sheaf to the priest, and the priest was to hold the sheaf and wave the sheaf so that the Lord would accept them, that Jehovah would accept them. Are you getting this picture? Now, again, I don't fully understand this, but there's a scripture in John where it talks about the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus Christ, I think it's John chapter 3. Let me grab it real quick. John chapter 3, Jesus Christ said, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Now, how is Jesus in heaven while he's standing on earth talking to Nicodemus? I don't know how, but he was. See, because Christ was truly God, then part of him was still in heaven. But because he was truly man, he was also on the earth. So the Son of Man had, again, there's the Son of God, Son of Man thing, right? There's this deity aspect of Christ. There's this humanity aspect of Christ. And so Christ dies on Passover. He's buried during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He goes down into the heart of the earth. He's preaching deliverance to the captive. He's opening the prison houses. He's getting ready to lead them forth. He's preaching the gospel. And then on the first fruits, the first day of the week, the day after the Sabbath, he rises from the dead. You remember what happened when he rose from the dead? When he rose from the dead, he gave a sneak peek appearance to Mary Magdalene. I don't know if you remember this, but he gave a sneak peek appearance to Mary Magdalene. Now, this is significant for a lot of reasons. But remember, she stood by the grave, and she was weeping, and, oh, where is he, where is he? And then he appears. She doesn't know it's him. She thinks he's the gardener. And then Jesus says, "Mary." She turns, "Rabboni." And here's what Jesus says. He says, "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Okay? Now later, he's going to appear to the women on the road, and they're going to touch his feet when they worship him. Later, he's going to appear to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Actually, before that, he's going to appear to Peter. There's a private appearance that isn't really recorded in the scripture, but it's marked in the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, and it's also marked in Luke 24. But then he's going to appear to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He's going to walk with them, and then he's going to go break bread with them. And in the breaking of bread, they're going to realize it's Christ. He's risen. And then he's going to disappear. And then he's going to appear to all of the apostles, except for Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. He's going to appear to 10 of them. Judas is dead. Thomas wasn't there. And he's going to say, "Touch me. Touch me." But here, this was a sneak peek. He appeared to Mary first. He says, "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." What's the significance? Well, there's a couple things. First off, I just want to make this note, which is interesting. Who was the first one to believe the lie of the devil and partake of sin and disobey God? You know who it was? It was a woman. It was a woman. She listened to the devil. She partook. She disobeyed. And then she led her husband into disobedience. It was a woman. And you know what? Men love to blame women. And you know what? There is some blame for women. Women need to take ownership. And they need to take responsibility for their errors. A lot of times they want to make it look like it's always the man's fault. Look at both male and female need to take responsibility for their own errors and their own sin. But woman was the first one to do it. That's true fact. Doesn't make it right what Adam did. Adam was wrong. In fact, Adam was held more accountable because he was given the word directly. But fact is, woman was the first one to believe the lie, partake of sin, disobey God. Guess what? Look at God's great redemption. Look at how great God is and how he reverses everything that went wrong. Who's the first one to see the resurrected Jesus Christ and believe the gospel with all her heart? Who's the first one? It's a woman. Who's the first one who not only believes the gospel, but gets to run and tell the gospel to the men. It's the woman. Isn't that awesome? How the Lord reverses this whole thing. And of course, you know, look at how messed up natural man is. Natural man will listen to his wife when he shouldn't listen to her and disobey God. But then when these women go tell the apostles that he's risen, they go, ah, just silly women, they don't listen. But they won't listen to the women when they should listen, when they're actually sent by the Lord. Something. But that's neat, isn't it? But here's the other picture, okay? Here's the point. Remember, the first fruits. What were you supposed to do with the first fruits? Were you supposed to eat it with your family? Were you supposed to enjoy it with your family? Or were you first supposed to bring it to the priest so the priest could wave it before the Lord so you could be accepted? Okay? First thing. You know what? Jesus says, I got to first ascend. And part of Christ was still in heaven. It's like that high priest part of Christ was waiting there to begin his priesthood. And it began right here. He says, you can't touch me yet. I got to first go up in the presence of my Father. So the sheaf, Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, ascends into heaven shortly after this, had to have done it, sends into heaven, and he's rejoined to the high priest part of himself, the heavenly part of himself. And now the sheaf gets waved before the Lord. That's before the Father. And you know what he says back in Leviticus 23? I love this. He says, he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. To be accepted for you. Why did Christ enter into the heavenly places? It says in Hebrews 9, to appear in the presence of God for us. Why is Christ a high priest after a better order? After an eternal priesthood, an unchangeable priesthood, there's an eternal law, an eternal covenant that's been made by his everlasting blood being offered up by the eternal spirit. Why? You know why? It's for us. He's a mediator for us. Because without him as a high priest over a heavenly order, with that eternal blood being offered, there's no hope for us. But guess what? He says, you take the sheaf, and you wave it before the Lord. On the morrow after the Sabbath, that's the first day of the week, that's Sunday, the priest shall wave it. And guess what? Christ appeared in heaven. He declared himself in heaven before the Father. He went back into heaven before the Father. And he appeared there, and he sprinkled the blood, and he showed his body resurrected. A body. Wave it before the Lord. Wave it. I love it. He says, wave it. This is public. This is something to be revealed. This is something to be brought forth. This was not some secret thing that they did. They brought this to the priest, and the priest waved it before the Lord. Listen, our faith is not a private faith. This is a public faith. When those men received the Holy Ghost, they didn't hide in churches and try to come up with neat programs to seduce people into their churches. No, they went out in the streets and they preached. Christ is alive. They waved the resurrected Christ. Listen, you read through the book of Acts and you read their preaching. They don't preach a lot about the death of Christ. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't preach the death of Christ, but I'm going to tell you what. You know what they waved the whole way through Acts? What they're preaching publicly and declaring openly is that Christ is alive. Jesus is risen. Jesus is ascended. Jesus is Lord and Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's the judge of quick and dead. That's what they preach all through Acts. It says you wave it before the Lord that it might be accepted to you. And you know what? We get to partake of this priesthood too. Now, we're not the high priest like Christ. He is the first of the first fruits. But we also get to partake of this priesthood. And you know what we should do with the gospel? You know what we should do with Christ? You know what we should do as priests of the Lord is we should wave it before the Lord. Everything we should do. You know what Paul said? He said, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said? He said, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Anything we do, any labor, any work, any gospel work, any family time, anything we do, man, let's wave it to the Lord. Let's wave it to He waved himself to the Father so that we could be accepted. And now we as priests, we get to wave Christ. We get to wave that gospel. We get to wave the things of the Word of God before our Father so that others can be saved and be accepted. This is public. Declare it. Proclaim it. And remember, it's the first of the first fruits. It's the first of the first fruits. You know what Paul says in Colossians about Jesus Christ? Here's what he says. He says that he's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the first of the firstfruits. And you know what? It says that in all things he might have the preeminence. Let's never forget who the first of the firstfruits is. It's Jesus Christ. There's only one first of the first fruits. He said, I'm the first, I'm the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. He is the first of the first fruits. He's the first one. Truth sprung out of the earth, and righteousness looked down from heaven, and he ascended up to the Father, and he declared himself and appeared in the presence of the Father and sprinkled that blood for us so that we could be accepted. But remember, even though he's the only first of the first fruits, and there'll never be another first of the first fruits, the fact that he's the first fruits is proof that there's more to come. And that's why in Revelation, it says, in Revelation, by this better priesthood, it says, from Jesus Christ, who is the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We now get to partake of this priesthood. And now everything we offer up, we got to remember the first needs to be towards Jesus Christ. The first needs to be in the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head. He should get the preeminence in all things. Amen? This first fruits, first day of the week, after the Sabbath. I love it. I love it. Sabbath was the day of rest. First day of the week, we're getting back to work. We're getting back to it. But notice how we start this new work in Jesus Christ, this new life in Jesus Christ. You know how we start it? We first start it by offering up the first to the Lord. That's what Jesus Christ did. He said, don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended to my Father. He first appeared to his Father. He gave a sneak peek to Mary, but he first appeared to his Father before he went to anybody else and started his work of bringing them the faith that he's alive, the faith that he's alive, the hope that death has been beaten, the gospel of eternal salvation, complete forgiveness of sins. That's what he did the rest of the day. He went around to people who had no hope and had lost hope, disciples and apostles and people that they thought they had hope, and then they thought looked like it was all gone. And he went around and he was restoring their faith and their hope by bringing him that gospel of eternal life. The resurrected Jesus Christ, the first of the first fruits. And it was all done on the first day of the week. You know what our labor is? Same exact thing. We want to go out and serve the Lord, amen? But first, let's appear before our Father in heaven. Let's start our days right. And then when we go out, remember what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring hope to the hopeless. We're trying to bring peace to those who have no peace. We're trying to bring love to those who are unloved. We're trying to bring joy. And you know what he says? I love this. I'm going to read this in Isaiah chapter 52. In verse 9, he says, break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Jesus Christ, he is our salvation. He is the salvation of God. Jesus Christ is the holy arm of the Father. And Jesus Christ is the one who purchased redemption for us. You know, he says, let's sing. Let's sing. Let's go and wave this sheaf We got the resurrected Christ. No other religion has that. All their founders are dead and buried with no hope beyond. And all the political leaders that men love and worship are dead and buried with no hope beyond. And all the religious figures and all the sports stars, they're all going to be dead and buried with no hope. But we've got the risen Christ. We got the first of the first fruits. Let's wave that sheaf onto all the earth. He said that salvation, the whole earth, all the nations are going to see the salvation of our God. They're going to see Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the feast of the Lord. Amen. That is the feast of the first fruits, feast number 3. Amen.